so that I only have to say it once, in case there's any questions. Besides having a lot of arthritis that is very advanced in my wrists, and there's a little cyst in there, and then I tore a ligament. So I am right-handed, so I really appreciate your prayers. A lot of my work with the mission has to do with my hands and my writing. I placed my life on God's easel, and He started painting on me. But I took the paintbrush from Jesus, and I painted what I wished to see.
When I take my dear wife by my hand, I got to make sure I don't tear more ligaments. Got to grab her gentle, but help her down the stairs. That's one reason why the Lord's going to give us a new body in heaven. This one on earth, as you get older, it falls apart easier. It was amazing what little she did to tear that ligament in her hand. We were all quite surprised. As always, some opening comments. I'm an ab libber. My dear wife, that song, that's her testimony. When she first heard that song, she was full of tears. And the reason, As a college-age lady, she'd got a little away from the Lord, and the Lord convicted her, and she started to confess and yield, and here I am, Lord, and work on me, Philippians 1:6. He promises he's going to keep working on you no matter where you're at, one step backwards, two steps forward, and make you more like himself. I began to go to work on you, saved you, born-again believer, when she was, I think, 6 years old. Or maybe it was 9, I'm not sure. But then he says, I'm going to continue to work on you to the end of the age. And so she yielded to the Lord, was available to him, and the Lord engrafted Romans 12:1 into her life little by little, day by day. And she has been blessed ever since. I couldn't have asked for a better wife, a better friend, a better servant, someone interested in mission work, mother, grandmother. I've been blessed, and she's been blessed because she put the Lord first in her life when she was in her 20s. And as the Bible teaches, the Lordship of Christ. He's Lord, you're his servant. So we praise the Lord for that. So that song's her testimony. Other comments here. We spent yesterday with two of our granddaughters in Stratford, so we decided to Google how to get a shortcut from Stratford here. I was shocked. They have changed the name in the computer, the internet. When you MapQuest Listowel, they call you folks North Perth now. I mean, I hate change. Now, why they did that? There's not Listowel no more. You're North Perth in the MapQuest computer. So that's almost worth a protest, changing things. I don't like that. So where's Listowel on this map? Oh, no, you're North Perth. Oh, okay, we'll have to get used to that. Now, Brother Bob was here last week, as you know, and some folk asked, I think, for Kathy Cretney's CDs. I don't blame her for doing that. Why? Can her hands just float over the piano, just so nice and beautiful and delicate. I mean, especially the Believer's Hymn Book, a CD on those songs, just wonderful. So see my wife after. I think someone picked up theirs already, but there was about 4 people, Bob says, to connect with, and your CDs are back there with my gospel literature. And speaking about that, as I said last year, everything's free back there. I can recommend this literature. It's printed by Gospel Folio Press, the Brethren's Press in Canada. And number two, those gospel tracts get people lost first. A lot of tracts don't. People have to know they're lost in their sins first to know they need to be saved spiritually. Just like a sailor at sea, if he's lost physically, common sense says you got to be saved physically. In the spiritual realm, there's no different. And so God has taken his word in these tracts to show people they're spiritually lost in their sins under the wrath of God. And every tract back there, I have testimonies of how people have read it, and God has taken his word and saved people, and they've become true born-again believers. So pick up one or two or three, whatever, and I would just challenge you again, as I did last year, to pray about it, love someone first, and challenge them and say, the message in this leaflet here revolutionized my life. I would challenge you to read it. Wouldn't mind your opinion, your comment later on when I come back, we see each other again, and just see what they say, and take it from there and trying to share your faith. This one here, asleep in the boat. This guy had a little job, a little entrepreneur kind of a guy, and above Niagara Falls, up the river a ways between Niagara Falls and Buffalo, he had a little boat, and he would drive along and see his little sign and come down and get on his boat, and he'd give you a little ride in his speedboat above Niagara Falls in the river, and just for fun. Now, it was quite a ways above the falls. And one day he dropped people off and got careless and just put the bow up on the edge of the shore, didn't tie up the boat. Hot day in the summertime, went down to the stern, had a little pillow, and laid down and fell asleep. Well, guess what happens? When you lay in the CERN, the bowel comes up in the air because of your weight. So the current going by, he fell asleep. The boat came off the edge of the shore. Here this guy is drifting towards Niagara Falls, sound asleep. But if you've been down the falls is noisy. And people hollered at him, you know, wake up, wake up. And this guy stayed sound asleep. And would you believe him in the boat went right over the falls and he lost his life. And so somebody wrote a track on that subject. We just had the Olympics this summer. I got a track here going for gold. That was an easy one to handle, especially in the summertime around the Niagara Falls. And but there's still some folk that might be into sports and Olympics and whatever. And maybe they like gold. We talked about this morning in the first meeting about gold and track on that subject. One here, swept over Niagara but saved. True story of Roger Woodward. 8-year-old boy. You may have heard of this story before. Again, above the Niagara Falls, on the American side, an uncle decided to take him and his sister for, again, a little boat ride, and he made a number of mistakes. Number one, didn't know the territory, how far he was above the falls. Number two, didn't check the gas tank. That's a bad one. Number three, only had one oar in a speedboat, you know, for pushing or whatever. But, I mean, you need two oars to row. That's common sense. Number three, brought along two passengers, only had two life jackets. That's a big mistake. Now, this is like 19, maybe 60, this happened. And they get out there. He runs out of gas. And now they're drifting down towards the falls. And so the uncle, of course, he got him into that calamity. And so he gave Roger his life jacket, and that saved his life. Because a skinny, short kid, 8 years old, wearing an adult life jacket, kept him on top of the water. Been an adult, you've been in the water, you know, right up to about here. And because he was on top of the water, when he went over the falls, he stayed on the crest of the water. So when he hit the bottom, an adult, if you were in the water when you hit, just tons of water come on top of you and keep you underwater. You never come back up and you drown. But the kid, Roger, on the crest of the water, when he hit, he popped back up. And the mate in the mist, the tourist boat below the falls, spied him. And they rescued him. You talk about fear he was going through. You know, 8-year-old kid going over the falls. And he got saved physically. And later on, a senior citizen on the Canadian side, they were over on the Canadian side for some reason. Anyway, went to pick up his sister when she was, what, 13? Well, first of all, I should say that his sister. Now, she's in the water with a normal life jacket on, but she's a little stronger swimmer, and she got closer to the shore. In the 60s, as you probably remember in history, the blacks and whites are fighting in America. But here on the American side, here's a black and a white man standing together watching the falls. All of a sudden, you see this girl coming along. And she's a stronger swimmer, so she got closer to the shore than Roger did. The black guy jumps into the water near the edge of the falls. And the white guy holds onto his hand and the railing. And he reaches out, and as the girl was going by, she reached out and got him by one finger with her hand. And he had the smarts to let her not try to pull her in. As the current was going by, he didn't want her to let go of his finger. So he just let her kind of go sideways like this. Didn't pull, just held on. And she held on and brought her right to shore. And they saved her life right at the lip of the falls. Now, she was under a lot of fear, too, going through that experience. Anyway, this one night, the senior citizen goes to their home to pick her up for Youth for Christ. At that time, she's 13 years old, and Roger's about, what, 10 by then, maybe 9. And, I can't go, she said, I'm babysitting my brother Roger. And he didn't know who they were. He was this famous kid. Oh, and you wouldn't say this nowadays, especially in the city. Oh, I'm sure your parents wouldn't mind. Just bring the kid along, you know, you're babysitting him, and go to Youth for Christ. He can just sit wherever in the back. So Roger agreed, and the way they went to this Youth for Christ meeting, this teenage meeting, and that night Roger heard the gospel. And the senior citizen drove them back to their house, and the babysitter, the sister, went in the house, and Roger stayed in the back of the vehicle, and this senior brother explained the gospel clearly. That talked about fear, the fear he was under. And, you know, Roger, the Lord can eliminate fear in your life. You had a lot of fear, then you know what fear is all about, going over the falls. And told him about the Lord Jesus Christ, who first loved him and gave himself for you. Roger, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and paid the penalty for all your past, present, and future sins. It's all paid for. And if you just agree you're a sinner, a lost sinner, and thank the Lord for paying the penalty of your sin, your personal sin on the cross of Calvary, and step out in faith and pray and claim, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he promised you eternal life. So Roger listened, nothing happened. But this senior guy didn't give up and sponsored Roger, sent him to Camp Lilolai across the border down in near Salamanca, New York State. And that's where Roger prayed and put his faith in Christ as a kid. Now he's probably in his 60s. Lives in Georgia. He has given us testimony all kinds of times and all kinds of places. And he's just a well-known celebrity in that sense. The only kid ever to survive going over the falls. And so it's a little track here on how he got saved and so what went on. So I'm going to pick one of those up too. Okay, so we're going to start on a sermon here. Fear not. And what I don't get done, we'll just continue on tonight. And then I'm going to jump into fret not after that. So again, the tracks are all free. Luke 21:26. The sea and the waves are roaring, and man's heart failing them for fear. Men in fear. In Psalm 107, we'll also remind of that. It says, talking about sailors, they that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy winds, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths, their soul is melted because of trouble. That means fear. They're just full of fear. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. In their fear, they just feel so helpless. Now, to give a little more detail about this waves and God in control here, designing all this and being lifted up to the heavens, and going down to the depths. What is talking about there? The way the Lord has designed the water on the earth, because of all the high winds, especially like in hurricanes and typhoons and cyclones, and the currents that are designed to make the ocean like a bubble. It's a bubbler system, the currents, to produce bubbles in the water so fish can get oxygen and not die. So you have all this current. Then you have the gravity from the moon, you know, pulling the water over the crest of the earth. And so all those three mixed together, you know, the wind and the current and the gravity had together has tremendous power, how God has designed all this. And so when it says a waves go up to the heavens, what happens is when a wave goes up into the air, the ship's bow actually can point towards the heaven. And if a wave is 20 feet high on the normal sea level, on the other side, it drops 20 more feet. So if you go up 20 feet, you got a 40-foot drop because the trough is an extra 20 feet down. A lot of people don't know that unless you've been into a hurricane and see what really goes on. So, you know, the ship, you're pointing towards the heaven, then you go down to the depths. You're going 20 feet below sea level. And that puts the fear. And then when you go down, the wave is on your bow, and then the wave, with its buoyancy, has to plow up through the wave. And makes the ship groan and creak and crack, and you're thinking, is this ship going to break in two? And it produces tremendous fear into a lot of sailors. And then at the same time, you're being tossed to and fro. You're like, if you're like you're seasick or drunk, you just feel so helpless. It throws out the balance in your ears, and it throws out your sight, and that's why you just lose all control of your balance. And so again, that kind of adds to the fear. So give some details about what it would be like on being in fear. You've heard about the Edmund Fitzgerald that sunk in the 1970s. And some have wondered, how can a ship, 700 and some feet long, just sink in the Great Lakes? During that storm, it's wrapped somewhere on the other side, in Lake Michigan there, I guess it was, yeah, Lake Michigan. The ship was drawing 26 feet of water, because it was carrying 26,000 tons of cargo. So it was 26 feet underwater, and they're in a big storm. They got into a Leeuwen Island and set down their two anchors on both sides of the bow and seemed pretty secure. And they seen on that, what they call the depth finder, I think that's called that, there was a shoal 46 feet underwater. How did a ship drawing 26 feet of water hit a shoal that's 46 feet underwater? Well, that's what happened. It went up on a wave, and then when it went down into the trough, when it went down and then settled back down, the shoal here hit the middle of the bottom of the ship and broke its back. So it just kind of buckled this way. And now, you would not know that when you're on the ship there. You're up in the wheelhouse because it's dark out, number one. The wind's blowing like tremendous in this big November gale when this happened. When a ship's hitting a wave, is a thud, and the waves are crashing on your ship, so you would not hear the keel hit the shoal underwater. You wouldn't even hear that. So now the keel has been broken. You've broke the back of the ship, and now the water's coming in, mixing in with 26,000 tons of iron ore pellets. So you've become a submarine, don't know it. Can you imagine? You're up on the bridge. All of a sudden, the ship goes under the water, and because you hit a big wave, and you're expecting the buoyancy to bring the bow back up. Now you're in pitch black dark, except lights on the ship out there on the lake, and expecting the bow to come back up, but you can't tell whether it's coming back up. You can't see, and all of a sudden the ship's quiet. Well, if the ship broken too, if you're up on the bow on the bridge, you just lost the stern, the engine. So all of a sudden now you're quiet. And so you're quiet. It's pitch black dark outside around you. Except you got lights up on the bridge there, and you're underwater. And all of a sudden, you see the water coming in around the door sills. And so the ship is kind of going down like a submarine, because when it broke in two, the water all came in. So you're taking a nosedive like a submarine, and the water pressure is bringing the water into these doors in around the door sills. And the deeper you go, the more water pressure builds up, the more water comes in. And then you realize, we are nosediving to the bottom of the ship, bottom of the lake. And can you imagine the fear that was going on at that time? And that's why there was no Mayday. No one got into survival suits. No one got into life rafts. They didn't know they were becoming a submarine, taking a nosedive. Not a clue. And went right down and then let the ship on the bottom, left it there, and it became the crew's casket. And then the bodies are still in that side of that ship. Tremendous fear goes on. Another fear story, you probably read this in the paper just recently. A ferry boat collided with a leisure craft in Hong Kong Harbor. They're going to watch some fireworks at Victoria, in another part called Victoria Harbor. And it trapped people below water level, and 38 people lost their lives. So now, you're thinking, well, that boy, a leisure craft? Well, see, this leisure craft was owned by a millionaire. I mean, we're talking big-time leisure craft. There was 38 people below water level, down there eating and drinking and partying. And this big leisure craft, when a ferry boat hit it broadside. And they say what happened was, when it hit it broadside, it stove in the side of the ship, and the doorway downstairs was on this side of the ship here. So when it stove it in, it popped the door, and the door frame, it collapsed the door frame right up against the one side to the other side, and left enough space for water to come in through the door and down the stairway, but people couldn't get out through the doorway because the door frame was collapsed. Can you imagine being in the bottom of the ship, water's coming in down the stairway, and you're stuck down there, and you can't get out, and you're lost spiritually? The fear, tremendous. And 38 people just screamed and hollered and lost their lives. Tremendous fear. And so the Bible talks about that, about fear. Sailors going through fear. Well, just recently, we had a sailor that went through a hurricane. And he had so much fear, he quit the ships. And I had a Christian brother go follow him up in the port he was in, where he was from. And smart brother, this guy's under fear. He spent a lot of time showing this guy Christ-like love. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and towards all men. That's what Scripture says. And so this brother decided just to love this guy when he was under all this tremendous fear. Started to love him. And taught in 1 John 4:18, where in summary it says, godly love casts out fear. Instead of the sailor, do you know how that works? No. Would you like to know? Yes. And so he went on to explain the gospel, where it says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever, including you, sailor, whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And challenge this person concerning his lostness and his sinfulness and this fear. And this sailor stepped out in faith and trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And then he said, you know, eliminate fear. He said, you have to, he said, take John 10:27-28. He says, read the verse, memorize the verse, meditate upon the verse, and ask God to engraft the verse right into your mind and your heart. So you can say what the verse says. It says, Christ says, you trust in me as your personal Savior. You've become my sheep, and I'm going to give you eternal life. You will never perish. Nobody ever plucked you out of my hand. I'm going to give you eternal life. And he got to the place where he said, Christ said it. That settles it. I believe it. And the more the Lord engrafted John 10:27-28 into this sailor's life, the fear started to leave him. So much so, guess what? He's back on the ships now, and he's not fearing death. In fact, he is so grown, when they go through another storm now, he doesn't fear death. And his buddies see this, that he now doesn't fear death. And see, on a ship, compared to a factory, you see a guy 40 hours a week. So you know your buddies fairly well. On a ship, you work, eat, and socialize 7 days a week. I mean, you probably see a guy 100 hours a week. You know people really well. And all of a sudden, you have a friend on the ship that you knew before was fearing death, so much so he quit on you, quit the ships. Now he's back. He's the opposite, and now he doesn't fear death, and they want to know why. What an easy foundation if you pray for boldness and wisdom to share your faith with fellow sailors, and this is how God is using this person here. So here God is using these hurricanes in the West Indies that down there are all bad news. I mean, Sandy was a bad news hurricane. Death and destruction and still the side effects, and yet what never gets in the paper of how God uses that to put fear into people, and they have no answer until they hear about Jesus Christ and get saved and get discipled too. Don't forget that part of it. Saved and discipled. So the Lord can take his word and engraft it. So now you're trusting in him and his word and eliminates the fear of death. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Let me stop there for a second. It's talking here about, someone can shoot you and kill you. But the Bible says don't fear that. Fear someone who can kill your soul. And but are not able to kill the soul. And the soul, of course, is your mind, your personality, your emotions, your talents, your spiritual gifts, just who you are in your body. That's your soul. And so, There's no fear if you're a born again believer of anyone killing your soul. And the proof of this, in illustration purposes, did you read that story in that 10 years ago when they had that all those murders in that Colorado high school in Colorado where the gunman actually talked to the born again Christian girl. I think she was 15 years old. Imagine this. Now she's laying. You know, he's shot a lot of people already. So he's already a murderer, and she's seen this and heard this. She's laying on the floor down by her desk, and he comes up and approaches her. And are you a Christian? And she said, yes. And so she says, so I don't fear dying. And so here this guy could kill her body, but can't kill my soul because I'm a Christian, and if I die, my soul is saved, I'm going to heaven. And now he shot her anyway, but she had enough, you know, strength and boldness and belief in Christ's word that she didn't fear. He cannot kill my soul, and that's how she left this earth as he shot her. But it says, but rather fear him, Satan, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And of course, it's talking here about Satan. First of all. Getting you maybe to do some things, crazy stuff out there in the world, could kill yourself earlier than what you maybe you should die. And then concerning your soul, deceiving you in the religious realm. Oh, you're religious, you're okay. I'm sure you'll go to heaven. And then blinding you and deceiving you. And so then once you die physically, you can get saved spiritually. So Satan has your soul too, and so in hell, you know, now your soul has been is being destroyed. In the sense, I wrote this down from Brother McDonald out of his commentary concerning physical death. The body is delivered from sin. Now, this is from a born again believer, but you're not going to fear about someone going to destroy you. The body is delivered from sin, sorrow, sickness, and suffering. And the soul is with Christ and translated into eternal glory. See, this girl, she had to have some beliefs in that whole area. Versus a lost soul, if your body dies, your soul is separated from God forever. And you are under his wrath for the penalty of your sin forever and ever and ever. So spiritually speaking, your soul is dead also spiritually. And no hope of ever changing it once you're in hell. And so here is Satan, you know, going around deceiving people and luring people into maybe a premature death. And then they end up in hell and their soul is destroyed spiritually. Speaking about fear and being saved spiritually, here's how much the Lord wants to see people saved. The Bible's so clear. If you're like my wife, you're just willing and available to yield your life as you come as you are as a Christian, Romans 12:1, and give your life a living sacrifice, the Lord promises he will use your weakness and his strength for his glory. You know, the Bible says, I beg you, Romans 12:1, give your whole life a living sacrifice for the glory of the Lord. It's your reasonable service. Based on the first 11 chapters in Romans, what it talks about there, about the love and grace and mercy and forgiveness of God and all the blessings you have in Christ, it's the least you can do is give your whole life a living sacrifice. And the Lord says, I'll take your weaknesses and use them for your glory. When I was here last year, I told the story, and this is the rest of the story, of how... Remember some sailors I told how they read the book by William McDonald. Can't think of the name of it now. The Wonders of God in Creation and the Wonders of God in Redemption. Sailors read that book going across the Pacific Ocean to India over a period of a couple months. And 9 guys got saved in 2 or 3 months. Got into a port. I got a brother to follow these guys up. And they wrote back and asked me for some more literature in the Hindi language and the English language to hand out to their families. So I thought, great. So I boxed some things up. Now, as you know, in the post office, you pay by weight and also size. So I had this box, and it wasn't quite full of gospel tracts in the Hindi language and English language for this elder. So I wanted to kind of level the box off and not waste space, because I'm paying for the space too. So I had some leftover Wellington Canal journals, the one that came out in June 2011. The testimony of this lady, Gladys Carey, the wife of Bill Carey, that's on the mission board. And her parents were missionaries in China, and that's where she was born. A great sister in the Lord, a very clear testimony. She weaves in the eternal security in there, just a great, clear testimony how she got saved and how God blessed her and used her for the Lord, for His glory and for the gospel's sake. So I had some leftover ones, because Bill had asked us to print some more so he could put them into his Christmas cards after she died, in memory and honor of his dear wife, Gladys. So I just kind of tossed them in, thinking, well, they might like to read a little bit about the Welland Canal mission here. We're the ones that are paying for the postage and sending this literature. And so I just tossed a few in. But my aim was to give them gospel tracts. So when this journal arrived there, the elder just took the tracts out. I mean, the journals that left them laying aside, because he wanted the tracts. But his wife picked up a copy of this journal. She read it. Oh, she says, you know, I could do with these journals. I'm going to go around and give them to some ladies who read English, because India is a former British colony. So English is the second language in India, and Hindi is number one. And so in India, they have a caste system where, you know, I think about three or four levels, where if you're born to a certain level of people, you're not allowed to move up in this level of fluency. You got to marry in that group and work in that group and live in that group of people, and it's called a caste system. And so in the lower system, the women have no value whatsoever. So she went around hand out these journals to these women in the lowest caste system in India. And you know what struck these women? I gave about, 20 copies, was they thought, wow, men put together a little periodical here and write stories about women in their men's little leaflet. Can you believe it, they're thinking? Because it wouldn't happen where they come from. And they actually put the woman's picture in their article. Well, that wouldn't happen where they come from. And they were so impressed, they read this article with interest, and some ladies got saved. They wrote me back and told me about this. So no one got saved from the literature. It was from the journals that I wasn't even thinking was important. But I just tossed them in there. And but see, God had other plans. So they asked me for some more copies. And I said, you know, better than that, I said, you get my permission. I said, just run them through a copy machine. They ran off hundreds of them and handed them out. And more ladies got saved. Not the men, the women got saved. They started bringing their kids to the meeting, and that went okay until they decided to get baptized and come into fellowship. And oh my, in India. That gets out in public. You only have to have one husband be against this. He spreads it around, and now you're enemy number one to all the fanaticals in India concerning that are anti-Christian. Not just the Muslims, other groups there too. Enough so, they'll burn down your meeting place. They will torture the women and kidnap them and sell them or kidnap your kids. And the fear comes in, a tremendous fear with all this. So what has happened now? They decided, well, they waste money, so because I'm paying for space. And that's God, you know, that's God working. He just took my weakness, that wasn't my plan, and it was my idea, and used it, and people got saved. Philippians 1:14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident with my chains, are much more bold to spread the word out of fear. And what, I think I'm just going to save that for tonight. That's something I'm going to jump into. We'll wrap this up here. Fear. What do people fear? Death. Why do they fear it? They love their life. Or they have plans. Or they don't want to leave loved ones. The Niagara region, the biggest fear we have there is cancer. We have the highest rate of cancer in all of Ontario. And the reason, all the chemical plants out of Sarnia dump their chemicals in the Detroit River, the St. Mary's River, for years. They went down to Lake Erie, and we get all our water from an underwater pipe from Lake Erie down to St. Catharines. For years, that's how it worked. They put it through a filter system, of course. But that was a real problem. And then in Niagara Falls, the Hooker Chemical Company out of Buffalo and also Niagara Falls. Oh, you know, Buffalo, when you have a big rain, all their sewage system overflowed in the Niagara River. And the Hooker Chemical Company on the American side, all their extra chemicals got dumped in the river. And here we folk like myself eating smelts every spring and in the 70s and 80s out of this river. And they tasted good. I thought it was okay until I had some left over and left them in my freezer for about 3 months and brought them out in about February. No, I caught them in the spring, so I would have brought them out in the fall. Went to fry them up. Well, they smelt like sulfur, and they were like copper gold color. Whoa, they're full of chemicals. And I was eating these things, you know, lots of them, and put them into our gardens to fertilize the vegetables. And there's all these chemicals in your gardens and so on. And so because of all that, we have the highest rate of cancer in the Niagara region. And we used to. I mean, they got this problem all cleaned up now, basically, so-called, you know, cleaned up. So it's not the problem now. But it set the stage way back then to destroy cells in your body that now later on become full-blown cancer. So a lot of fear because of that. And so the Bible says, what should you be fearing? Well, you should fear death if you're lost, because the Bible says death can happen at any time. It says your life is like a vapor, here 1 minute, gone the next. And that's why the Bible is very clear, today is the day of salvation. You don't put it off, trusting Christ as your personal Savior. I mean, we just came up from, let's say, Stratford, and we met snowplows. And so I remember reading in the paper, it was, 10, 15 years ago, how ladies from Sarnia, from Divine Street Gospel Chapel, were on the two-way roads from Sarnia going to some ladies' conference, head-on collision with a snowplow, and I think most of them lost their lives. And they had no idea that was going to happen, of course, but it just shows how it can happen. So what else should we fear? Spiritually lost people haven't taken care of their sin problem. So what do you do about it? You can't forgive yourself. You can't save yourself. You have to agree with God that you're a sinner, a lost sinner, and just step on a faith and thank the Lord Jesus, as Roger Woodward did, for paying the penalty for all your sins on the cross of Calvary. And you also should fear Satan, the deceiver, who wants to have you die before you step out in faith and claim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So he doesn't want you to do that, and wants you to look for some way to eliminate that process in your life. Even though most people will agree, yeah, I'm not perfect. Yeah, I guess if you call it sin, yeah, maybe I'm a sinner. That's as far as they go. But they don't decide by faith, I need a Savior for the penalty of my personal sins before I die. Think about these people in World War II in Japan. I won't pronounce this right, the whatever it is. You know, they were airplane guys. Anyway, they were brainwashed by their religion. If you get in your plane and dive bomb into an American or Canadian warship, the enemy, and blow them up, and you die doing it, your religious leader or your religious God will bless you because you died for the cause of your religion and Japan, to save Japan from the so-called enemy, even though they started the war. And you'll go to heaven. And people bought into that. So they voluntarily decided, in the name of religion, to kill themselves. And they were very effective projectiles, you know, to blow up American ships. It made the war, you know, carry on for a longer time, except until we dropped the atomic bomb. And but they were the blind leading the blind, thinking they would go to heaven doing this. And the scripture is very clear. Killing yourself in the name of religion or a war cause will not get you to heaven. No man comes unto the Father, Christ said, except through me. You can't get to heaven except through me. No other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And also the last one, you should fear hell. Jesus talked more about hell than heaven. And what's the answer? Again, Jesus said, notice, even with the disciples and the people, he said, I came to give you peace, and peace unto you. And I came to give you peace. So you can say, as from the body, present with the Lord. Because he said, you know, hell is a hot place. You're always hot. You're always thirsty. You're always suffering. It says, gnashing of teeth. Now, right now, I got a little bit of a sore back. But in hell, it worth suffering that. You're always suffering and pain. My wife has a lot of arthritic pain. But I can assure you, in hell, if people are grinding their teeth, that's always in physical pain, you know, grinding your teeth. You know, it's forever and ever and ever. So the Bible says, you know, fear that. And again, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And he said, you trust me, I'll give you eternal life. I'm going to give you a new body, a new home, no more tears, no more thirst, no more hunger, no more paying taxes, and no more social problems, and no more having to go to work, and no more, you know, doctor's visits and so on. And it's going to be, you know, perfect peace, and it's going to be the greatest place to sing and worship and reconnect with all your relatives and all your friends who also agreed they were a lost sinner and thanked the Lord for paying the penalty for their personal sins on the cross of Calvary and stepped out in faith and prayed and claim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So, folks, fear is a horrible thing, but be thankful for fear if it drives you to the cross, to Jesus, in your sinful situation, that you might get saved. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank thee once again for this message. The gospel means good news, but when we start thinking about it and talking about it, it's incredible news, wonderful news, tremendous news that we can be set free from the fear. Sure, the body dying, there could be some fear, but all fear eliminated of our souls being destroyed by Satan when we trust in Christ. And he proved it by being raised from the dead and conquering death and conquering sin and conquering hell and conquering Satan and conquering the grave. And when we have faith in him, we have victory over all those five fears. And he said, when your body dies and your soul doesn't, it's going to be with me forever and ever and ever. So speak to us now. Anyone sitting here who hasn't made this most important decision, may they just sit in the pew and not get in the car and not drive away before they make that most important decision of trusting Christ as your personal Savior. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.